What was supposed to be just a week off for the bye week has turned into an unexpected three-week hiatus for the showgram, but we are back. Adam Alter here from the Razorback Nation alongside Chris Bond of free agent status. Chris, let's explain what's going on here. As okay. to one of the reasons why we've been on hiatus is there's been some things going on. I don't know if you want to catch us up there.
Okay, well, our parent company, Arkansas Business Publishing Group, has decided to shift its resources into some other properties, including Arkansas Business, which is where I now call home. We're still working through some of the details on that, but ArkansasSports360.com, after a five-year run, has gone to the great internet home in the sky. It's sad, but I'm proud of what we did. We did a lot of great work, and I don't anticipate being out of sports completely for long. Not only do we have the showgram, I've got a couple other things I'm working on. So I anticipate here in a few weeks I'll be able to say something definitively about here's where you can read me, here's where you can hear me more often, things along those lines. But in the meantime, we're going to have a heck of a time with the showgram. And you, where have you been? Let's not put this all on me.
Yeah, that caused 1 week of a no-show. I'm responsible for the other, as in my wife just gave birth to our first child. Zoe is her name, little baby girl. Came into the world last Tuesday, so she's 8 days old now. Everything's great, all the fingers and toes, everything's healthy, you know. So we're happy, we're good, but couldn't exactly get away for a podcast last week unless I wanted to get divorced real fast.
It's understandable. You look good.
Doing all right. You have, getting some sleep here and there.
You have what for you or I could be described as a pretty sweet beard.
Yeah, playoff beard? Is this the playoff beard?
Yeah.
But we're back. Like a phoenix, we rise from the ashes. And before we continue, I'm sure I'm not the first to tell you this, but I'll be the latest. We were all not very happy to hear about what happened with 360. You kind of deserve better than that, but you're a talented reporter, and I'm sure you'll get scooped up here real quick.
You know, these things happen. Ultimately, it comes down to, monetizing it.
Yeah.
Is the buzzword. So we couldn't monetize it, but I'm happy to have a spot at Arkansas Business. I think there's a lot of things I can kind of sink my teeth into there that are not completely outside the realm of sports. And I'm looking forward to it. So,
well, either way, the showgram must go on, and we've done this show from a few different undisclosed locations. But today, the first time we're actually doing it from the Bond household, which happens to be home to three lovely beagles who like the sound of their bark. So, if you hear any background noise during this show, that is what you're hearing. We're not under attack, except maybe by doggy kisses. We also have a big bag full of leftover Halloween candy.
Mm-hmm.
I got a fresh bottle of pop here, so we're ready to rock. Let's talk a little bit of Hog football. We were both at the Tulsa game. 19-15 is just about the ugliest score I can think of when it comes to football, and the play on the field kind of backed that up. What were your thoughts?
It was bad to watch. Kudos to Arkansas for pulling it out. They found a way. To get a score relatively late in the game, and then the defense was able to hold. Chris Smith came up, with some big plays there at the end. So, that's encouraging. I continue to see some things that I think, well, okay, if they can somehow figure out how to put all of this together, they might actually be able to beat somebody that's good down the road. I'm not completely writing off their chances, but it certainly was no fun. It was not aesthetically pleasing.
No, and it was boring. It was a boring game. I was bored shooting it down on the field, and I'm 20 feet away from the action, and I'm yawning. I'm sure some of that's because I'm running on little sleep from baby brain, but it just wasn't all that well played. My dad was in town because of the baby, and he doesn't watch a lot of Arkansas football, but he watches them when they're on because he knows that I'm covering them. And I talked to him after the game, and he was like, "I was like, what were your thoughts on the game?" He said, "Tulsa played crappy. Arkansas played slightly less crappy, so they won. That's kind of how it was.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it was. You know, with what was it, Kentucky and Auburn, Arkansas actually dominated those games, Kentucky especially. Auburn, there were stretches where it was kind of who's the least crappy. But that, I mean, that's the perfect way to describe it and what we saw on Saturday against Tulsa. It was just like, yeah, well, they were the least terrible, so they win. That's not going to beat Mississippi State or Carolina or LSU, but you know, I still see some. I mean, am I crazy for thinking that? Don't you continue to see little bits and pieces every game, with the exception maybe of A&M and Alabama? You see these little glimpses, and you go, "Hey, well, if they could actually do this at the same time they're doing this, maybe they're not awful."
I hear what you're saying, but and I know 3 out of 4 wins looks good on paper, but I throw a big grain of salt on that, because Auburn and Kentucky, I knew they were bad. They were significantly worse than I expected as far as the eye test. Mm-hmm. They were real, real bad. And I know Arkansas won handily, which they should do, but still. The best team out of these four that they've played was Ole Miss, and they played okay, but they lost. And you know, Tulsa wasn't that good. And frankly, I thought Tulsa got away from its own game plan in the second half, threw the ball way too much. And you know, Arkansas pulled that game out. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Some game, this part of the, you know, the defense plays well, but the offense will struggle, or the run game is good, but the passing game. And if they get them all going, I don't know that they do enough to make me believe they're going to get it all going. And a big part of that is the quarterback play in Tyler Wilson, and I feel like he's regressing as the season goes on. I thought he played pretty poorly against Ole Miss, one of his worst games as a Razorback, mm-hmm. and he wasn't that much better against Tulsa.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to put a lot on him simply because he really has been, I mean, if there's been a bright spot to this season, it's for the most part been him. You know, the play calling from week to week is a little questionable. I know they don't want to use this as an excuse, but throwing to Austin Tate is not the same as throwing to Chris Gregg.
Not even close.
You know, throwing to even, you know, throwing to Julian Horton isn't even the same as throwing to Brandon Mitchell. Mikel McKay seems to have disappeared.
When was the last time you had a catch?
I don't know. I can't. It's been weeks. He's not playing well, but the pieces around him don't seem to be performing or aren't available. And then the reason I think it feels like he has regressed is because a guy of his caliber, you don't expect to necessarily have a safety blanket. And he has one in Kobe Hamilton. And it is obvious, and it's almost as if he makes no attempt to go anywhere other than Kobe Hamilton.
He's the first guy he looks at. He's the second guy he looks at. He might even be the third guy he looks at before finally making a decision on what to do with the ball.
So he looks at him 3 times before deciding to throw to him.
And then, yeah, and then still throws to him.
Right.
I don't know if it's a matter of he's looking at him too much, which obviously that could be the case, or he's just not seeing the field. You know, I recall I watched the Ole Miss game on TV, so I had the benefit of replays, and they're showing me things from the top angle, and there'd be a guy wide open on the left side, and he's forcing it into Kobe on the double coverage on the right side. And it's just like, are you that reliant on Kobe to make anything happen that you're not even giving other guys a chance, or are you just not seeing the field and not seeing the open man?
I'm not sure. Well, no, I know this for a fact. Tyler does not read the defenses in the same way that Ryan Mallett did. That is a limitation, and that has come up before, and people have said, well, you're crazy. How could you say that? He's a better quarterback. I think he does some things better than Ryan did, but Ryan knew defenses and knew the offense as well as any quarterback they have ever had here.
Yeah, I wanted to bounce onto that point and say, for all the reputation Mallett had as this or that, He's a football brain,
mm-hmm.
and he studies the game well. He understands the game well. He may come off like he doesn't care sometimes, but he does, and I think that's one of the things Bill Belichick liked about him and why he drafted him. Continue.
Yep. So if you remember even last year when Tyler had Joe and Jarius and Greg Childs. Sort of had Greg Childs and had Chris Gregg. But if you remember last year, you remember they did, what was it ESPN did? Was it the Year of the Quarterback or whatever it was?
No.
And they did the show where they did go behind the scenes with Arkansas's quarterback, and there was a scene in that.
Turbo Buffalo?
It wasn't Turbo Buffalo, but it was one of those exchanges between Tyler and Garrett McGee. And Garrett, you know, stops the play and is basically like, did it ever occur to you that Greg Childs is wide open on the post? And that happened a lot last year. There were times Childs wasn't himself, okay? But there were times last year where Childs or somebody would be open, and it seemed like Tyler maybe didn't recognize that mm-hmm. enough. I thought that was going to change this year. I still think I think Tyler's a hell of a player. I think he's the toughest, maybe, football player I've ever known.
Extremely tough.
That includes Darren McFadden, who basically tore his big toe off in a nightclub fight before the season one year and still got snaps against USC a couple weeks later. I mean, there have been a lot of, you know, there's a lot of guys in football. There are tough guys in football, but Tyler is one of the toughest, maybe the toughest that I've seen. And so I don't want to sound like I'm being overly critical of him, because I think he has a bright future at the position. I just think he doesn't recognize things as quickly as he needs to, and I think that limits him. And then I think. You know, it hurts him not having a good offensive line and not having the multitude of weapons that he should have with this offense.
That's exactly where I was about to steer the conversation. The reason we think he's so tough is because we've seen him take so many hard hits. Both last year and this year, he gets right back up. You basically have to drag him off the field. But at this point, he's hearing footsteps. I mean, he's just not getting the protection. And I think that's one of the reasons he goes to Kobe so much, is because he's hearing footsteps. I got to get rid of the ball. Who am I going to go to? Well, I better throw it to my best guy. And so he's forcing it that direction. But I was talking with Chris Mortensen before the season. We were talking about the draft.
Name dropper.
And, well, look, I'm just trying to use – he's a credible source. I'm not trying to pick myself up here.
No, go ahead.
I'm going to get to what he told me. It's not that I talked to him. We were talking about how Ryan Tannehill went eighth in the draft, and I just thought that was crazy because he had so much left to prove. Now, of course, you know, revisionist history, he's doing pretty darn well with the Dolphins, so I was obviously wrong there. I said something to Chris, you know, if Tyler had come out, that's probably where he would have gone, right? Because I think Tyler is a better quarterback than Tannehill. He said no. The jury on Tyler, the word on him was still that his decision-making. Now, some of that we applaud sometimes. He's got a little bit of that Brett Favre in him. You know, mm-hmm. he can throw from different arm angles, throw without having his proper form, and still make a good pass. But the decision-making just wasn't quite where an NFL team wants it to be. And watching this year, boy, is that evident. So, yeah. If anything, I think his draft stock has kind of gone down this season.
Yeah, well, through eight games, he had thrown seven interceptions. He threw six all of last year through 13 games. So some of that is they're having to throw a little more because they're behind. Some of that is the lack of a running game initially early in the season. Some of that's the lack of options that he has to throw to, so he's forcing the ball, you know, to Kobe when he's double and triple covered. Some of that, though, and Tyler has said this a couple times, and we had this conversation with Paul Petrino last week. Tyler sometimes, even when they're not playing from behind, even when they've got a lead or it's a tie game, Tyler falls victim to, we're going to score in one play. I'm going to get us down the field with one throw. And so he forces some balls. We had this conversation, was it after the Auburn game, when he didn't throw a touchdown and only threw for, like, you know, 280 yards or something. And I told you that was his best game. That was his best game of the year.
Yeah, we had that exact conversation.
And you're like, what? You're nuts. And I said, well, he didn't there were no interceptions. He made no bad decisions.
Threw for a high completion percentage.
And so I still think that was his best. I still think that was his best game of the year because he didn't try to force things. And far too often he's trying to make plays that just aren't there. There is a play there, but he's not seeing it. And so I just think, I think he's got to grow in that regard. Again, I think he's a heck of a talent. I mean, he can make all kinds of throws. I suspect he can put the ball downfield pretty well. He just never has time to throw downfield. So there's no vertical threat really.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't really have any burners out there.
Yeah.
Besides Kobe, who's, you know, he's not a speedster like Joe and Jarius were. He kind of needs a little time to ramp up and accelerate. But that's kind of where I wanted to go here is let's not put it all on Tyler. I know that's how I got into this conversation. I was kind of dogging on him a little bit, but the line hasn't been great. The weapons haven't been good. This team has just been haunted by injuries. Chris Gregg finally comes back after a month off. Doesn't even get through a full game before re-aggravating. He's off the field. And I've already gone into, on this show before, what he brings to the offense and how he changes everything with his speed at the tight end position. He's gone. Brandon Mitchell, you know, arguably the best receiver on this team, not named Kobe Hamilton, kind of provided that big body, security blanket type of guy who would be open over the middle, long arm, just throw it around him, he'll make the catch. He's gone for reasons that, you know, Arkansas still hasn't spoken publicly about as a university. There's obviously, you know, plenty of smoke around the fire as to what that might be. I don't know how much we want to dive into that, but what a strange situation.
It's odd. I feel comfortable. I don't think I'm out of turn here. I feel comfortable saying that compliance is involved and they're investigating.
Absolutely.
It. I don't know if it's a compliance issue yet. I just know that they're looking into it. And the longer he's out, the more it would seem to indicate that, you know, there's some sort of issue there.
And just to expand, make sure we're being very clear, when we say compliance, we're talking about the NCAA getting involved regarding possible illegal benefits, improper benefits. Let's just leave it at that. Another injury on this team, Niall Davis. I'm not sure it really matters because Dennis is running the ball so darn well. My bigger question is, does Niall have to come back now? I mean, his draft stock is down the tubes.
Yeah, it's just been a really terrible year for him. And I'm starting to hear it from a lot of people. I told you so. I told you he should have taken contact in preseason camp.
It has nothing to do with that.
I don't know that I don't think it has anything to do with that. It's just not been his year. I know he desperately needed and wanted for this to be his last year.
This was supposed to be a formality, a celebration of his career. I'm going to come out, I'm going to put up big numbers, and off to the pros I go. Boy, the exact opposite has happened. As to why, I don't think it's that he didn't get contact. You know, I've kind of gone into this theory before, but I'm holding to it. Niall's the type of running back that requires a good offensive line. If you put a good line in front of him that'll give him room to operate, he will kill you. Mm-hmm. If you don't, and you put it on him to make a lot of guys miss or just run straight forward and get 6 hard yards, that's just not who he is. That's exactly who Dennis is, and we're seeing him thrive.
Dennis is he's just been incredible. And I don't want to spend too much time looking backwards, but I'm still that Ole Miss game, you know, 161 yards, which is a career high for him. More than half of those came after contact, where he's breaking tackles, he's driving forward, you know, guys are hanging on to him. I think about those 3 runs that he had. It was, I think, 21, 20, and 5 yards. He scores.
In the fourth quarter there, yeah, where he's dragging 6 guys with him. Just, maybe the play of the year.
Just incredible. Incredible to watch him. Then give him credit because he follows that up with another, what was it, 111 yards the other day?
109, yep.
Yeah, 109, 22 carries, because the big knock in him, he's small. How durable is he? Is he willing to, you know, rehab himself through the week so he can bounce back and have consistent games? And he's done it. So, you know, hats off to him. You know, apparently it all turned around for him when his mom came to visit.
Yeah.
And had a sit down with the coaches and Dennis. It's unusual. You don't hear about that a lot at this level, but hey, it worked.
And it makes a lot of sense because And I don't know how much the fan base as a whole is maybe is aware of this topic as much as the media is, because we're a little bit closer. But Dennis has always had a knock of kind of being a bad, having a bad attitude, not being a good leader, you know, not practicing as hard, maybe being late to practice. And he's kind of always been in the doghouse with the coaches, particularly when Bobby Petrino was here. Well, who better to straighten up a young man and to get him to perform better than his mother? And, you know, maybe Coach Petrino, as in Paul, shouldn't have told us that, you know, that his mom came and talked, because somebody might take that the wrong way. But all the coaches, the players you ask, they've all said since that time he's been a different guy.
Yeah, and it's shown on the field. And I don't know how he's practicing. I don't know what he's like in the meeting room or the locker room. But I like seeing them give him the ball, and it's making a big difference for them.
And maybe as much as Niles' draft stock has fallen this season, Dennis's has risen over the last month. I remember during the Ole Miss game, Todd McShay, one of ESPN's, you know, main college scout draft guys, said he's one of the most underrated backs in the country. You know, and to me, that makes sense. He's an NFL-style runner. He's a one-cut, north-south, get-as-many-yards as I can without having to do too much type of guy. He's short and compact, so he can, even though he's little, he can take a hit and keep going. You throw in the kick return skills, which we haven't really seen this year, but I think there's a combination of factors to that, as teams keeping it away from him and then also moving the kickoff up 5 yards, which makes it so much harder to get a good return. But he can catch the ball out of the backfield. To me, he looks like an awesome third down back, you know, type of guy, the way New England might use Danny Woodhead. You know, he's not an every down back, but you rely on him to get a few yards here, catch the ball in the backfield there, and do some of the little things.
Yeah, I think he's got a shot at a pretty good pro career. And you know, he's one of those things that I talk about in saying you see these glimpses each week of this component and that component. And I don't know that we've seen this offense yet. I guess Auburn and to some degree Kentucky, I'd like to see it against a good team. At some point, I'd like to see, you know, Dennis running well, Tyler throwing to somebody other than Kobe, spreading the ball around. And if they can ever put that together, you know, against one of these teams over the next couple weeks, they've got a shot to put some points on the board. They are hitting this back end of the schedule at one time looked really formidable. I still think it is. It's going to be tough to win 2 out of 3 to get bowl eligible, but you catch South Carolina without Marcus Lattimore, and they don't really have – they're not playing for what they were at one point in time. LSU now, they don't have a national championship to play for. Are they going to be disinterested? You know, Mississippi State looked great early on. They've been exposed a little bit, you know. So I wonder if Arkansas is catching these teams at a good time, but I don't have a great deal of confidence in Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm not sold. You know, you said you want to see them play good and, you know, do this against good teams. Well, this is their chance. These teams, even if they're not playing as well as they were earlier in the year, these teams are significantly better than anybody they've played over the last four. I just don't think it's in the cards. I don't see this team putting enough together to win in Starkville, win in Columbia, or even at home beat a very, very talented LSU team, which frankly completely outplayed Alabama all but the end there.
Yep.
They're just physically more dominant, more powerful, more skilled, bigger, stronger, faster than who Arkansas is putting on the field. Maybe not every single position. There are guys on Arkansas who would play for these other teams, but 90% of them wouldn't.
Right. Well, and I mean,
as far as starters starting.
Yeah, I mean, and Arkansas is down to what, like their fourth middle linebacker of the season. I mean, there's still a lot of issues. I just think if you can take a positive outlook, which I'm trying to do here, and once again, you know, you're ruining it, Adam.
I'm being real.
But no, I mean, I think we need to be realistic. I'm just saying, if you're looking for a reason to be hopeful, there it is. South Carolina and LSU are out of the national championship hunt. How excited are they about playing for, you know, the Citrus Bowl or the Chick-fil-A Bowl? I don't know.
I have a feeling this weekend's game against Carolina might get ugly as far as Carolina taking it to Arkansas. Yes, they're out of the championship hunt. Yes, they don't have Marcus Lattimore, one of the best running backs in the country. But over the last three seasons, Arkansas has not only beaten Carolina, they have embarrassed Carolina. You know, we had Razorback players. You know, I remember 2 years ago when they played in Columbia, Razorback saying the Gamecocks quit
right
in the second half. They stopped trying because they had been so demoralized. Well, there are players on that USC team that remember that and remember these three losses. And they know they're the better team this year. And I think they want to flex their muscle and return the favor.
Yeah. Oh, and they got a pretty darn good defense, too.
Yeah, just Jadeveon Clowney is...
Oh, my word.
He was built in a lab, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
He would be drafted in the top five this year as a sophomore. You know, he's just a freak. Good, you know, good luck, Bray Cook. You know, good luck, David Hurd or Jason Peacock. Have fun with number seven because he's twice the player you are. I'm sorry. That's just the facts.
Oh,
and it's not just him. The rest of that defense is pretty stout, too.
Yeah. I mean, they have... Yeah. That offensive line is in for a real, real,
difficult,
real bad day. Because I don't know... I don't know that I've seen them... They've made some improvement from the beginning of the year. They have not improved enough that I feel good about them going up against Clowney.
Nope, me neither.
So, all right.
So, if you chalk that up as a loss, then you got to lose. You got to win out. You know, you got to go to Starkville, where, you know, 2 years ago, a very good Razorback team probably should have lost that game.
Yeah.
Frankly, you know, Mississippi State, other than the losses, I think Mississippi State played Arkansas better than any team did all season that year. And, you know, Starkville historically is a tough place to play for the Razorbacks. So, and then you got LSU after that. We all know about Arkansas-LSU history, and it can get crazy, but I just don't see two wins over the final three, if any. I'm not sure they're going to win a single one of them. And not making a bowl is normally a bad thing for a program like Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
For many reasons we don't need to go into, everybody understands making a bowl is a good thing. I'm not sure making a bowl this year is really that good of a thing. I think they need to put this season to bed as soon as possible, get a new coach in here, and get thinking about next year as fast as possible, and just get this awful, awful taste out of everybody's mouth.
I do not disagree with you at all. They need this. They need this over with. I think back to the Cotton Bowl in Houston Nutt's final season, and you had, you know, some of the guys were still on staff here but were headed to another jobs and
messy.
It was awful. I just think, and nobody was into it. There was no accountability for the players during bowl week, which we've seen plenty of throughout the season. So I think they need it to be over with, and I think, you know, the guys that are sticking around need to go ahead and get acquainted with their new coach. They need to get into whatever this new coach's weight program is going to be. They need to get in the film room and start learning the system. I don't see any reason to prolong this thing. And that's not me rooting against Arkansas. But I think you just have to be honest with you have to be honest with yourself and say there's really no benefit to the program if they go to a bowl game under an interim coach. I don't get what the benefit of that is.
No, you know, and then for the seniors, guys like Tyler and Kobe, they need to use that time to just start training, getting ready for the combine, doing everything they can to put as best a foot forward towards the NFL draft as possible, and having to spend all your time, you know, game planning for the BBVA Compass Bowl against who cares, you know, what is that doing for them?
Nothing. I mean, what's the best case scenario? Let's say they win out.
Gets to seven wins and go to Memphis.
You're going to Liberty Bowl.
You're going to go to Shreveport. Independence Bowl.
Birmingham. No thanks. Mm-hmm. I don't. The players, they're not. They don't care. They're not going to want to prolong this thing. I know they're competitive. I know they would like this season to be better than what it is and what it's going to wind up being. I just don't think there. I don't think there's any benefit in prolonging it. Just put it. You know, put it out of its misery.
Go ahead.
It was just a terrible, tacky example, but it reminds me when we had to put a cat down a few years ago, and we knew. I mean, we knew what direction we were headed. We had done all these treatments, and we were trying to prolong the cat's life, and ultimately we just had to come to a point where, like, you know what, we can't keep this. Isn't good for anybody. Let's end this now.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah. That's a much less graphic example, but that's the point. I mean, there's no reason to prolong this thing. It's just sad. It's depressing for everybody.
Yep. The season's been like a 4-month funeral.
Yeah.
You know, and the sooner you can put that casket in the ground and walk away, you know, the faster you're going to move on.
Yep.
Which, of course, leads us into the million-dollar topic, and I don't know how much time we want to spend on this because it's still kind of all speculation with about a month away from when we expect the hire to be, but that's who's going to take over the Arkansas program. Where are you as far as your finger on the pulse, kind of where all the talk and all the chatter is going?
I don't know. I tend to think there's still some work to be done. I mean, I think, you know, a few weeks back we sat here and we kind of laughed at the idea that Jeff saw this head start as a bad thing. And then, you know, the more you talking to athletic directors around the country who've been through these searches before, you know, talking to people who interact with Jeff on a fairly regular basis, you know, in the program and out the program, you realize there really is only so much you can do up to the point that you have those face-to-face meetings with the coaches, and then you decide whether you want to hire this guy or not. So I think he's kind of in a holding pattern. I think there is a school of thought that there are people out there who seem to think, right, that this is done.
There is a media member who covers the Razorbacks. I'm not going to throw his name out there because it's not my place to do so, but he told me on Saturday he has a very, 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 very good source who has told him the deal is done. There is a deal on the table. It is done. The hire will be announced very shortly after the conclusion of the season. He would not tell me much more. I pressed him on a few hints here or there, and he wouldn't budge. The only thing he did tell me is I asked him, is it exciting? Is it an exciting hire? And he said, absolutely. Now, you read into that what you will. As far as, you know, the main candidates, we all know who they are at this point. There are some that are exciting. There are some that aren't. Let me throw one more thing out there. Okay. There's a chance he may not know, or there's a chance his information may be wrong.
Right.
He sounded pretty firm on it. This is not a media member that breaks a lot of stories, but the stories he has broken have been accurate.
Right. Here's my thing on this. I mean, who knows when Jeff has a live microphone, if what he says is always exactly what it is. But he said on a statewide radio show that it's important to him to have face-to-face contact with the coach, that one-on-one interview is very important to him. So if a deal is in fact in place, then he's already had the face-to-face meeting with the coach. And, you know, he said at other times, he doesn't believe that you can have the face-to-face meeting with the coach until the season's over. So
look, he wouldn't be the first person to say one thing and do another, particularly in the athletic director or coaching game.
Right.
So just because you're not supposed to talk to a sitting head coach doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
Right.
You know, we all know the story of JetGate.
Sure.
They met on a plane. These things happen. Yep. Just because that one was reported doesn't mean it's not happening elsewhere.
Right. And, you know, Nick Saban wasn't going to leave the Miami Dolphins. I know how this stuff works. So it's entirely possible a deal is in place with someone. I don't know, and if it is, good for Jeff, because I think that would be the best case scenario, because Kentucky's open, and while I don't think Arkansas and Kentucky are really going to be competing in the same pool.
Different class, yeah.
Auburn may be coming open. Tennessee could potentially be coming open.
I think they're both coming open.
Yeah.
And those are schools that will compete in the same pool of coaches.
Yep. And then, you know, there's some other jobs across the country. Even Lane Kiffin is in a little bit of
he's not going anywhere.
He's probably not going anywhere.
And honestly, USC is looking at a different pool of coaches than Auburn, Tennessee, or Arkansas. They're the next level up.
So, but there are some jobs of that caliber that Arkansas is going to be competing with. So if they do have a deal in place, that's great. Jeff's really made the most of his time. And hopefully they, you know, that would be the best case for the program is if the day, well, not the day after LSU, but the Monday after the LSU game, December the 1st or whatever that is, you come out and you go, all right, we got our coach. We're done.
I think as soon as possible.
Yep.
Assuming it's a hire the fans are going to like, which, you know, 95% of them, I'm sure they would. I think that's the fastest way, like we said, put the casket in the ground and move on. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, not to fans are great and everything, and you need them to buy tickets. I hope Jeff is not basing his decision on, you know, what are the fans going to like? Because if he did that, he would hire a guy whose really only qualification for coaching college football is that he does Hooters commercials. And
talking about the tie?
Yeah. And has a TV show where he picks out five specific plays that he can talk about where he looks like a genius. You know, people, this John Gruden thing, just, anyway.
It's not happening.
It's, yeah. I don't know why I brought it up, because it just infuriates me to talk about.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on the spot. You got one?
I do.
All right.
On the spot, were you, tell me when your daughter was born,
mm-hmm.
Where were you situated? In the, you know, on the playing field, and what was the first thing that popped into your head?
Well, we ended up, it wasn't our plan, but we did end up having a C-section because of some other complications. So I was in the operating room, mm-hmm. but you can't be on the lower half when they're doing that. They don't let you. So I was behind the kind of curtain thing they put up in front of my wife's, you know, kind of parallel with her shoulders, so she can't see what's happening either. So I was right there. And you see them kind of working and whatnot, and then all of a sudden you kind of hear a baby crying.
Yeah.
And they've pulled it out, and it's pretty crazy. It becomes very real at that point. It's very exciting. It's very emotional. You know, and I was trying to snap some pictures too. And,
mm-hmm.
and then the when it got really emotional was, when I got to wheel it out, you know, and take her to the nursery and go by the waiting area at the same time. So all of, you know, my family and Lane's family were there and everyone gets to see the baby for the first time. That was pretty special. It was pretty dusty in that area. A lot of tears were flowing, including my own.
Yeah. That's amazing. Did you faint at any point?
I did not faint. I did almost, I'll go ahead and admit this. I'm not ashamed to admit this.
It's fine.
When they were first administering her epidural,
okay,
I was it's something they do in your lower back, and I'm in front of her, you know, and kind of holding her hand, and you know, because it's a pretty big needle, and I'm sure it didn't feel good, and I mean I'm trying to, you know, help her through it, and she was kind of having a hard time, and kind of started her breathing kind of accelerated,
yeah,
and without even realizing it. My breathing kind of started to mimic her breathing.
Okay.
So, and I don't even realize it's happening. And then all of a sudden I'm really lightheaded and I can't even see what's happening. So it's not like I'm looking at a giant needle and it's making me faint or anything, but
right.
All of a sudden I thought I was going to pass out and, I had to go sit down and lay down for, you know, a couple of minutes to collect myself, but I could feel all the color had gone out of my face and it was weird.
Well, congrats. I'm really happy for you. I can, people obviously can't probably see through the podcast, but the smile on your face when you're talking about your little baby is, it's just radiant, Adam.
Oh, am I glowing?
You are.
Thank you.
You are. So I'm happy for you.
This
is, a lot of media people with children.
Yeah, it's kind of all happening all at once. You know, our friend Robbie Neiswanger of the Morning News, you know, he wasn't even due for another month, and he knew I was already at the hospital, and he actually direct messaged me on Twitter and said, guess who's also here?
Yeah.
You know, my wife's water broke. And so then I started texting with him. He said, I'm in room 30. I said, well, I'm in room 29. We were right next door to each other. Yeah, so we met each other in the hall, and my family had brought some cookies in, so I took him some cookies, and we kind of went through all this together. This is his second child.
Yeah.
So
he didn't break a sweat.
Yeah, it was a little easier for him, but it's pretty cool. And a lot of people are having babies, you know, people from Arkansas media, people from my friends from home, either have just recently had babies or about to have babies. All girls except one. Mm-hmm. Jason Carroll has a boy, a guy I work with at Razorback Nation. All of my friends, all the other media members, all girls. Isn't that weird?
That is. Yeah. So you guys have a life of prom dress buying and pageants and,
no pageants.
Dance, ballet class, gymnastics.
We will not be honey boo-booing. I can promise you that. But, yeah, I'm sure I'll learn a lot about all sorts of things that I didn't know. And then, of course, once she becomes a teenager, we'll be dealing with boys, and you know how boys are, Chris. They're the best. No, I don't know.
Good luck.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot just because we have this giant bag of Halloween candy in front of us. It's a commonly debated topic at this time of year. What's your favorite candy?
My favorite candy is, oh, man, I really like Reese's Pieces.
It's a good answer.
Those are delicious, and Heath Bar also. It's quite tasty.
A Heath bar?
Oh, yeah.
What are you, my mom?
I love toffee. Who doesn't love toffee? What's wrong with you? Heath Tony bar. Tony hates Heath bars.
There's just so much better than the Heath bar. I'm going outside the box.
Okay.
And the people that like this candy or that eat it regularly are going to be like, yes, absolutely. And the people that don't need to eat it, whatchamacallits.
Oh, I do love a good whatchamacallit.
Whatchamacallits are fantastic. And you don't see them, you know, they're not handed out often on Halloween.
At all, really.
And that's what I hand out, whatchamacallits.
You can, like, buy little miniature ones?
I think so.
Okay. I do. I love whatchamacallits.
We didn't actually hand out Halloween candy this year because we were at the hospital. But
And you're a Scrooge.
No. I love Halloween. My daughter was born. Her due date from the very first sonogram we ever had was actually Halloween. And we ended up having her on the 30th. The day before, but that was very exciting for us. Halloween is very big in my wife's family as well. Her and her sisters really get into it, and I've always liked Halloween too. So
I think it's awful.
You don't like Halloween?
No, it's terrible.
You are an awful person.
I know, but I did enjoy it this year because the hot costume was the Bobby Petrino Jessica Durrell get up.
Yeah, that's a good one. That and Gangnam Style were the big ones.
Yeah,
Gangnam Style. No, I didn't dress up. Although I did have to wear like scrubs to go in the OR for the C-section.
Yeah.
I kind of felt – I tweeted out a picture right before I went in. I said I felt like Walter White.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was good stuff.
But instead of making meth, I was making a baby. Well, I mean, I already made the baby.
Just stop that. Yeah.
No. Just be glad I didn't on the spot you about when you're having a baby. Because I'm sure Tony would love to hear that or your mom who listens to this show.
There's a lot of babies out there right now. So I don't feel any – a lot of people, like when they're friends – and co-workers and such are having babies. They feel there's my dog, a cameo right here at the end. You know, a lot of times everybody in the world's having a baby. You feel pressure to have babies.
Yeah,
I feel like that takes pressure off of us because now there are a lot of babies out there.
It's not getting Tony's biological clock ticking. It's like, Chris, when are we gonna have a baby?
We got our hands full with our
barking beagles,
our three dogs. I can't imagine adding an actual child to the mix, because you know, with the dogs, like when it's, you know, if I need to go, I can just throw them in the kennel. I don't think they don't.
Yeah, you don't want to throw a baby in the kennel.
That's not recommended, right?
And I know you can put a leash on a baby. I don't recommend it. I'm kind of against that.
Are you gonna do that? Gonna do the little? It's like the monkey backpack, and the tail is the leash.
Inhumane is what that is. Let me throw this one thought your way.
Okay.
If you wait for the perfect time to have a baby,
mm-hmm.
you'll never have a baby.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a perfect time. At some point, you just got to bite the bullet.
That's deep. That's deep.
Somebody told that to me once.
Yeah.
And I've always remembered that.
That's deep.
So bite the bullet sometime.
All right.
All right, let's wrap it up. You got any homework? Got anything, parting thoughts?
You know what? I would tell everybody, if you have not had an opportunity to check out ArkansasExpats.com, go there. They do great work. It's essentially a fan-driven site, but it's part of a larger national network, SBNation.com. I would go check out Arkansas Expats, read Doc Harper, who's the editor there, and sometimes I do a podcast with him as well. But they do great work there, so check it out. If you're jonesing for some sort of ArkansasSports360.com-like thing, go to ArkansasExpats.com.
All right, I got a homework and I got a parting thought. Homework-wise, we're doing a little something special in the Razorback Nation all month. We're not really ranking them, but we're kind of talking about the top 10 likeliest candidates to take over the Arkansas job. Mm-hmm. You know, it started this week on, I think today might be the first day, actually. The first one runs, and it'll run Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday, and then I think starting next week it'll also be on Tuesday. I think those are the days. I'm not positive. It's both on KNWA and KARK. It's not during the sportscast. It'll be, I believe, the segment before the sportscast, or maybe the segment after the sportscast. But somewhere in that middle to second half part of the show, we're talking about one coach, 4 days a week, kind of breaking down their accolades, and then, you know, we talk about, for me, the way I looked at it is positive and negatives as far as why it'd be a good hire or why it might happen, and then negatives why it probably won't happen, mm-hmm. et cetera. So I believe that starts today, so check that out. I'm not positive it's in the 6 or the 10 newscast. I haven't been working much this week or last week because of the baby, but check that out. As far as parting thoughts go, and this is also kind of homework, you may or may not know this, Chris, there was an election last night.
Okay.
Regarding the President of the United States.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's over. Regardless of who you voted for, mm-hmm. regardless of how you felt about the outcome, I'm not going to talk about how I feel because it doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter how you feel, but it's over.
Yeah.
And it's our job as Americans going forward now to be civil, to work together, and to try and make this country a better place. There's a lot of bipartisan politics right now that kind of disgust me. We should be working together, not against each other, and there are obvious issues in this country right now that need to be resolved, and let's all work together to make that happen.
Oh, you ended it before I could get God Bless America cranked up.
We don't need Cheese Factor Nacho here. All right, we don't need to go War Memorial Week 2. Proud to be an American when the paratroopers come in.
The paratroopers, by the way, by themselves was cool. Anyway, I'm gonna stop before we get.
Somebody didn't like that joke I made.
No.
I don't need to say who that was. All right, that is the show, Graham. Again, keep up with the Razorback Nation, 6 and 10 o'clock every night, Pig Trail, 5:30 live on Sundays. Keep up with Chris's Twitter to get an idea of what kind of work he'll be doing and where he'll end up. C-Bahn, C-B-A-H-N on Twitter. And if you want to, go ahead and follow me to Adam_Alter, A-L-T-E-R. That it?
That'll do it.
That's it. This is the show, Graham. Glad to be back after an unexpectedly long hiatus. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week.